Over the course of the next couple of months, we're going to be continuing on with our faith series. We're going to be spending our time looking at the faith stories in Hebrews chapter 11, where Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a wide range of Old Testament characters for us to learn from as each of them move on forward through their life, marching forward in faith. And in faith and by faith, they overcome all sorts of obstacles, all sorts of challenges, each different from one another. And as each one of them stepped forward in faith, each of them got the opportunity to see the God who loved them, the God who created them, and the God who called them do amazing things. Heading into this series, I had the visual image of people like Noah, people like Abraham, Moses, and Joshua marching forward into their future by faith. And so that's a visual image I kept thinking of as them moving forward. And what I want more than anything is for that image of their lives to inform another image that I also have in my mind, a picture that I'm trying to put together. And the image is a collection of people with your faces, my face, our stories, a group of people like that marching forward by faith. So I want their stories to inform our future, our faith, and our stories. However, even though the image of people marching forward is helpful and is by all means a major part of life of faith in God and as living as citizens of God's kingdom, it is also not a complete picture. It's not a complete picture because there are days in life where it takes everything you have just to stand. Forget marching forward and claiming new land. I'm talking about holding your ground and hanging on to every inch of progress you've spent years battling for. On those days, you just want to stand. Maybe you've not had one of those days before, and if that's your case, well, bless your heart. I'm sure there's lots of people who have had those kinds of days in their life, and I'm sure some people have extras if you want to borrow it. But maybe you've had one of those days. I started off this week marching forward. I had a very particular message that I was going to talk about, Abraham and Isaac, the offering of Isaac, God's provision of a sacrifice, things that, like I said earlier, we're actually going to be talking about that next week, but it flows just perfectly into talking about communion and the sacrifice that God provided through Jesus. So I had this message in mind. I was ready to start tackling that. I was already reading and rereading the passage and getting any kind of help and insight I could to prepare for this morning's message. Wednesday, I had the joy of unloading books in my office, and with each stack of books that I've already read or soon will read, my hope was that God would use them to shape me into being the best pastor that I can be as I get started here. And that's why, actually, I have a whole lot of books. I need a whole lot of help for that to happen, so I've got a whole lot of books to work on that and help me and as I grow. On Thursday night, Laura and I started on a book that our district superintendent just won't shut up about. If I had a quarter for every time he has mentioned the Love Dare book, I could have bought the book for free based on the money I got from him. The Love Dare is far from a silly book, though. The first chapter, Laura and I got started, like I said, Thursday night. The first chapter started off right where it needed to start. And so Laura and I are actually looking forward to working through that whole book and the devotional guide that's going to be going through. As the DS said, the night of the town hall gathering where we had all kinds of questions and answers to go through, the DS said that there is nothing more valuable to a church than a healthy and vibrant relationship between a pastor and his spouse. And my desire this morning, and Lori's desire as well, is that we want to make sure that you get exactly that. And so Thursday night felt like another step forward. We're doing something else that's moving us forward on this journey together. And then came Friday. It was one of those days, the kind of day where marching forward is impossible and holding your ground is a battle. So the question I have is, what does faith do on those days? That's a question that's been rattling around in my head, almost like that tooth I told you earlier. I had a tooth in my ear when I was little, rattling around. I've had that question rattling around in my head like that. More than just knowing about what faith can do on those days, what I need to do is I need to experience what faith does on those days. Let me go ahead and read from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read verses 10 through 18. Go ahead and stand as I read this morning, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get started this morning, I just pray that the stuff we're going to be talking about, I pray that it finds value in all of our lives, that we would be able to identify the kinds of flaming arrows we encounter in our lives, and that we would have the confidence to know that faith in you extinguishes those flaming arrows. We thank you so much for that promise. We thank you so much for your word. And it's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen. Go ahead and seat. By faith, we extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Before talking about the kinds of flaming arrows that are sent our way, I want to be sure that I do an accurate and biblical depiction of the evil one. Unfortunately, many decades of movie making has done a lot to build up the image of the evil one, and much of it isn't remotely true or biblical. To be absolutely honest, there are even streams of thought within spiritual warfare literature that is simply not too biblical. This might seem like an oversimplistic but an accurate biblical depiction of the evil one, but it's this. The evil one is not God. God is all-powerful. The evil one is not. God is all-knowing. The evil one is not. God is everywhere at the same time. The evil one is not. A movie is only exciting when the antagonist provides a legitimate challenge or obstacle to the protagonist. And so, when it comes to a movie about good and evil, about God and Satan, those types of movies, or a priest and a demonic force, all sorts of movies over the decades, what we see often are depictions of the evil one, where evil is the one that has all sorts of power, all sorts of knowledge, and all sorts of abilities, but that's simply not biblical. When it comes down to it, our enemy is an imposter posing as many things that it has not been, is not now, and never will be. I'm not saying all that in any way to downplay the kind of spiritual warfare that people can face, but we do need to keep things within a biblical perspective. Our God has provided us with all that we need to be victorious over an enemy that has limits and is for a limited time only. Until that end date arrives, we should not be surprised about flaming arrows. I'd imagine that there are all kinds of possibilities when it comes to the types of flaming arrows that you and I might encounter. If I ever end up doing a full series on the armor of God, I'm sure I'll come up with a bigger list than the things I'm going to actually talk about this morning. But this morning, I'm actually going to talk about three particular flaming arrows because I think there are a lot that there are arrows that almost anybody universally deals with at one point or another. And the first flaming arrow is this: failures. I don't know much about boxing, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn once. It seems like the commercial says if you stay at a Holiday Inn, you can do just about anything from doctor to dentist or whatever, but I've not actually done anything with boxing. It's not something I follow. It's not a sport that I really enjoy. But last weekend was a huge boxing spectacle that a lot of people were talking about, Mayweather versus McGregor. A few years ago, the talk was about Mayweather versus Pac-Man, Pacquiao. I'm not one to watch real boxing, much less pay $100 in order to watch it. But those who do watch it study the boxers and identify areas of weakness. Opponents who can identify an area of weakness and focus on that particular area have a good chance of success. When it comes to you and I, we all share a common area of weakness. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In an attempt to defeat us, our enemy reminds us of the times that we've been defeated, when we failed, when we've fallen short. It's a cheap shot that our enemy doesn't mind taking. Like throwing dirt in the eyes of an opponent during a fight, the evil one doesn't mind fighting dirty. If that means dragging up every bit of a person's past and throwing it in their face, that's par for the course when it comes to spiritual warfare. When your mind is on your failures, it's easy to give up. When your enemy is trying to expose your weaknesses, we can become protective rather than proactive. Each attempt by our enemy to expose our weaknesses means that we have to spend more time and energy trying to cover up things. That is why confession is so important in the life of a follower of Christ. The evil one can only capitalize on what is concealed. Confessed sin becomes one less arrow in the arsenal of the enemy. It is when a life is full of unconfessed sin that the enemy has a quiver full of cheap shots that threaten to expose and destroy that life. When a flaming arrow that is aimed at our sins and failures gets a direct hit, it can affect our thinking. Am I going through this because of my past? Is God punishing me for something? I thought I was forgiven. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I was wrong about that. The reason our enemy takes cheap shots at our failures is because it raises the question of God's forgiveness, the sufficiency of God's forgiveness. The evil one would have us believe that God is either unwilling or incapable of completely forgiving us, which leads us to the next flaming arrow we deal with. Flaming arrow number two, falsehoods. The most effective falsehoods used by the evil one are the ones mixed with elements of truth. Complete fabrications are easy to call out. Perhaps you've dealt with a little boy or a little girl with chocolate smeared all around their face and all around their mouth who insists that they did not have that brownie you're accusing them of having. You know that they're lying because there is so much evidence contrary to what that child is saying. The kids that I work with at the treatment facility share one particular thing in common. They've all gotten caught. If they hadn't gotten caught, they wouldn't be in treatment. Some of them are so bad at not being caught that they make return visits a second or a third time. Despite their lack of success in getting away with their substance abuse issues and trying to conceal it, they still think that they are the master manipulators that can get away with anything on the unit. Years ago, we actually had a no radio policy. And since I worked nights, I was the one that always had to enforce the no radio policy. The main thing was that they couldn't have radios after 10:30 at night. A lot of them would stay up all night long listening to whatever rap music was playing, and they would stay up rather than go to sleep, or they'd be singing out loud to whatever they were listening to. So our policy where I work was that after 10:30, radio's off. You can read if you want to, but radios are no. Plus, it's not good to have those kinds of things pumping into your ears. Even if you're sleeping, your subconscious mind is taking that stuff in. So we didn't allow them to have radios at night. So when I'd come in, kids would always try to break that rule. On one of the nights, I stood in the doorway of a couple of the residents listening to the song that was making its way out from underneath the covers. I tapped the resident on the foot, and he wiggled around for a little bit, and then he pulled off the covers, pulling off his headphones while he was pulling off the covers and trying to keep them underneath there as well. I asked him to hand over his radio, and as innocently as he could, he said that he didn't have one. He looked like an angel. He really did. There was a light feature on his radio for reading, and when he placed it behind his head hit the light, and the light was shining behind his head on the headboard. So here I am looking at this young man telling me as innocently as he could, no, I don't have a radio, and the light's just shining around behind him. I asked him a few more times, give him every opportunity. He swore on his grandmother's deathbed that, no, he did not have that radio. And then when I brought it to his attention, of course, there was no denying it then. He'd been lying, and, you know, I don't know how much he loved his grandma or anything, but it was a funny situation. But it's the obvious lies that are really easy to identify. But here's the thing. Lies only need to be believed in order to be destructive, and the evil one is full of lies. Lies coated with truths, but lies nonetheless. Lies about you, lies about me, and lies about God. God couldn't possibly love me. God couldn't possibly forgive me. God couldn't possibly use me. All of those are lies. The truth is that God does love, forgive, and use a whole host of people for his glory and his purpose. And Scripture is full of those examples. Flaming arrow number three, fear. A third arrow making its way out of the enemy's quiver and headed our way is the flaming arrow of fear. I hate to use this line from Gandalf the Wizard in the Lord of the Rings trilogy movie, but it's almost like our enemy wants to stand in our path and defiantly yell out, "You shall not pass." More than anything, our enemy wants us to be afraid of continuing down the paths that we're on. In the same way that there are all kinds of lies, there are all kinds of fears. There are fears about just about anything, some rational, others not. Fear of heights, fear of tight spaces, fear of spiders, fear of snakes in toilets. All of those totally rational fears. And then there are the irrational fears, fears of closed shower curtains, probably from watching too many horror movies where there's a murderer on the other side of the shower curtain, fear of touching dryer lint, fear of long words, fear of falling asleep. And as I found out this morning in our Sunday school class, fear of the little lifelike looking dolls with eyes that flip open and close. That's one of Trevor's fears. But what about the big things? Everyone's fears are different. If it involves bugs or bats, Lori calls me to deal with it. If it involves deep water or glitter, then I call Lori. Glitter scares me to death. Not literally, but I really don't like it. That's truth. But what about the big things? What kinds of fears do we have in regard to the future? What kind of fears do we have in regard to our faith? What fears get in the way of sharing the gospel? What fears get in the way of boldly pursuing God's call on your life? I wish that I could stand here this morning and give you a victorious firsthand account of how my shield of faith has helped me move past the failures, ignore the falsehoods, and set aside the fears as I march onward and upward. That's not what I have. What I have is more of what Brennan Manning, one of my favorite authors, what I have more of is what Brennan Manning calls a victorious limp. You can always tell when I played basketball recently. I'm usually a little bit slower getting up. Usually when I do stand up, I got to stretch my knees out a little bit before I get going. Earlier this week, I played some games with a couple of early 20-somethings. And after we finished our games and we were on our way out, there was an older gentleman that went by. And he had noticed that we had been playing some games. And his response was, "Well, did you beat those young pups while you're out there?" And I did. I said, "Well, today, but tomorrow they're going to feel fine and I'm going to be limping around. So I don't know if you'd consider that a victory over the young pups or not." So that was my experience earlier in the week. I've had a spiritual limp for about as long as I've had a physical limp. I've mentioned before I've had knee surgery since back in college, so I've had a little bit of a limp physically for a long time. But I've had a spiritual limp probably about as long as I've had a physical one. 15 years and a few months. My experience the last couple of days has actually felt a lot like a time warp back into 15 years ago. I found myself revisiting so many of the emotions that go along with the failures and the falsehoods and the fears because I found myself dealing with the very same flaming arrows. Here's a really, really annoying thing about arrows. They're reusable. When it comes to a bullet and a gun, when you shoot a bullet, once that bullet is used up, that bullet is done. You need a different bullet to use. But when it comes to a bow and arrow, well, an arrow you can reuse time and time again. I think that we have the same kind of an annoying situation when it comes to our enemy. Our enemy does not have a limitless supply of arrows that he can send our way. But what our enemy does have is the persistence to keep using and shooting the same stupid three arrows over and over again. And he can keep shooting those three arrows until we do, with our faith, what this passage in Ephesians says a shield of faith can do. And that is, extinguish them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The shield of faith takes away the threat and the sting of flaming arrows. Faith holds firmly to the forgiveness and the redemption of God when a flaming arrow of failure comes our way. Faith holds firmly to the truthful testimony of Jesus as to what our Heavenly Father really is like and what our Heavenly Father really does think about us. And faith holds firmly to the promise that Paul shares with Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of discipline." Those are the kinds of things that I've been praying about over these last couple days. And my hope, this go-around, as compared to 15 years ago, is not just to deflect any arrows, but to actually destroy and extinguish them with the shield of faith. I'm tired of dealing with the same arrows meant for the same harm over and over again. I don't know what kind of battles you may find yourself in. Maybe I'm the only one. on the list of my fears is that I spend a lot of time working on a message that's more preaching to me than anybody else. But my prayer is that the things that are weighing on me and the things that I'm working through, things that I'm preaching about, has applications far beyond myself. I don't know what kind of battles you may find yourself in, but we do have the same shield of faith that's at our disposal. As we close this morning, we're going to go ahead. We have a song for closing this morning. Yeah, I always forget to glance real quick. As we close in prayer and song this morning, the prayers, we always say this, the prayers are, or the altars are always open. And I really wish, actually last night, I was trying to think if there's anything last minute that I could come up with. Sometimes it's really good to have a little take-home thing. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have like little miniature shields to have up on the altar? And, you know, hey, if shield of faith, if that's what you want, we've got some up here. Come up here and pray for that and take that home as a reminder that you have a shield of faith that's at your disposal for the things that you deal with. So we don't have that. But we do have shields of faith that are available. There's more than enough. We know that from studying Scripture. God is more than enough. And so when it comes to the shield of faith this morning, if whatever situation you're dealing with, I know I've got stuff I'm going to be praying about. I need that shield of faith just as much as anybody. So if you need a shield of faith, there are some up here available for you. So if you want to come and pray.